Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We're going down to the HRMP guest line. Bomani Jones of ESPN is joining us. Bomani, thanks for coming on. You have Houston ties, don't you?
Yeah, I grew up there.
What part?
I grew up over there by Willowbrook Mall.
Okay. Yeah, that's right there in the area. What's your outsider point of view of the Texans so far this season, everything that's going on in the offseason with them?
I mean, I got to say, before Tyrod got hurt, they looked a lot better than I think any of us could have imagined that they were going to look thus far this season. I've always thought that Taylor is a legitimate NFL starter. Like, probably not going to Super Bowl with him, but he is a starter. And I thought that he would provide a value, if nothing else, by just comporting some professionalism if the team wound up being a disaster. But thus far, that has not been the case. Now, I don't know what in the world they're going to do out there with Davis Mills for the next however long it's going to be. But, I mean, I thought the team so far has looked better than it had. And then the other stuff, I mean, come on, I see the same stuff you do. We're looking at the same things.
But Bonnie, look, I've coined the phrase embrace the suck for the franchise, and it's hard for the fan base to want to accept that because you obviously want your favorite team to do great every year. But for Nick Caserio, and in the best interest of the quickest rebuild possible, this is probably the ideal scenario for them because he's already hinted that, hey, look, it's not going to be the results here this year are not going to be gauged on wins and losses. It's going to be effort and kind of like Sam Hinkie did in Philadelphia with the Sixers of trust the process. And so this kind of sets them up so that they don't have to fake it to make it. But where are you on the fact that this team, obviously Deshaun or no Deshaun, they need to kind of press the complete reset button, and this is the perfect opportunity when you have all your draft picks back to get the highest draft picks possible?
Yeah, I think there's something to it. Like, I also think that you got to put a professional product on the field. Like, I think if you're going to ask people to spend money to watch you, then there is an obligation to do this. Like, the Astros went through the same thing, and of course it wound up paying off at the end. But in that year where they were having the dispute with the carriers about the cable station and literally zero people were watching games because they were so terrible, I think that the team advocated, I forget which word I was going to go with. They messed up, though, and they did wrong by the people. What I would be worried about right now if I'm the Texans is simply they're going to be really bad in a year that doesn't have a quarterback. And that's got to be disappointing. Like, if they really stunk last year, it could have really paid off. I don't see a guy in college football this year that you can, like, put your eye toward and make you feel good about the fact that your team is terrible. Like, you know, I grew up in Houston in the time of the Oilers, and I remember the Save the Oilers rally that, like, 60 people showed up to, and we basically gave the team away. My understanding is that the situation is different with the Texans, that people have a slightly different investment in it. But this is a city that, like you don't exist if you keep putting out stinkers. And it looks like they're going to put out a run of stinkers.
Bomani Jones of ESPN joining the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And the frustrating thing when you look at that quarterback position, and maybe for some it's not so frustrating, is Deshaun Watson is on this roster. He's on the 53-man roster. What do you make of the Deshaun Watson situation, and how would you handle it if you were the Texans?
I mean, what I find interesting about the fact that he's not playing is they have gotten away with out having to say why he's not playing. Like, that's the part that blows my mind. We can make all the assumptions that we want, but the truth is there would be two plausible reasons for them not to play him. One of them would be simply to preserve trade value. The other would be to, in effect, put him on the commissioner's list without putting him on the commissioner's list, which stops there being a headline about him being on the commissioner's list and, like, resuscitating the story nationally in a way that currently is a bit dormant. But what an interesting set of timing for all of this, that when he decides he wants out, all this other stuff happens to a point where people's immediate conclusion was, well, the Texans must have put this out, and so he stopped and thought about it, and were like, well, actually, they don't have anything to gain from doing that. And now they're just stuck in this really bizarre sort of purgatory where you hear the whispers about people thinking, well, yeah, if he gets traded, he'll do this, and he'll be suspension or whatever it is. But nobody really has any true handle on what's actually going on here.
Well, and the rumor is now that there was a wink-wink handshake deal. The Texans are doing the NFL a solid by saying, we're not going to play him as long as, you know, you don't. Because I keep making the comparison to the Trevor Bauer situation, saying if the league was smart, which we know they're not, but if they were smart at all and they saw what happened in baseball and said, hey, when the Dodgers were ready to play Bauer before anything was settled, The league stepped in and said, no, you're not. That's what the league could have done when he showed. You knew he was going to show up because he didn't want to get fined. But right after that time, someone should have stepped in and done it. Now that they haven't, that's why this can't go away as a national story, and it's still a circus at Texans practice every day, because the story can't go away until someone has the you-know-whats to step up and take the bull by the horns.
Yeah, but I think they're willing to let it be a circus in Houston and not be a headline on ESPN. Right now, it's not a headline on ESPN. I did a commentary about it, the show I do with Bob Costas on HBO, and I've done some stuff like on my podcast about it. But like, if you go around and look at the major sports outlets, it's still not really a discussion. And that's the part that I think that they are ultimately trying to avoid, because what happened to them that I think is a little different than some other cases that we've seen come up is that the number of allegations is the most damning thing with Watson at this point. Like, what you're asking for is us to believe that 22 people are lying. Now, I am inclined to believe that some of those 22, there's a good chance that some of them are lying, because once something like this builds up, then additional people who pop up are more likely to be con artists, because the con has been laid out if you want to play it. But you want to tell somebody that it's all 22, that's hard to do. But none of the 22 have actually been like fully investigated or adjudicated. So what that means is, as of now, Deshaun Watson is absolutely on some innocent until proven guilty stuff, because no guilt has actually been proven, except you have to ignore what most people would deem to be common sense. And they're trying to figure out, everybody's trying to figure out how to balance those two things, because technically he hasn't been charged with anything. You know, all you've got is accusations, and what is the power of an accusation? Fair question. Power of 22 accusations? He can't play. That's what the power of that is.
But Bomani, here we're talking about Bomani Jones of HBO as well as ESPN. As we get into this a little bit deeper from the situation, this is what frustrates me and why I said it just needs to go away. No general manager in their right mind, because all it takes is one of those 22 to go the wrong way. And now if you're trading for this guy, you've got bigger fish to fry. You've got other issues you have to deal with. And that's why, for everybody that wants to get their clicks and say, hey, a trade could be coming now, before the draft, before the season, before the trade deadline, what general manager in their right mind is going to put their future on the line and give away the big package that everybody says the Texans have to get in return, when there is no clarity? And if Deshaun's not going to have to talk about it till 2022, there won't be any clarity by the time a trade needs to be made. That's why I think it's just so comical. Everybody keeps coming up, oh, Deshaun could be traded soon, the Dolphins are interested. Why would they, when they don't know when they're going to get their guy and what kind of charges he's facing?
So I agree with you and don't agree with you at the same time. Okay. And the reason is this. I agree that if I am a team, I am not going to make that move. General managers, though, they can be a bit sociopathic about these things. So if you don't have a quarterback and they tell you you can get this quarterback, and he's, what, 26 now? And he's one of the seven or eight best quarterbacks in the league, but he's not going to be able to play for half the season, right? If I don't tell you what any of the background stuff is, I just give you that math right there. This league is full of general managers who make that trade. The owners are the ones that I have the question about, and it's not about anything with the morality surrounding the allegation. It's about whether or not NFL owners want to tell players that you can walk in here and demand a trade and we have to give it to you. Because that would change the world order of the NFL. That is where the NBA is absolutely different than the NFL, which is, guys in the NFL, you can walk in and ask to be traded, and you could be Aaron Rodgers, and you could be out here playing right now after you demanded that you wind up being traded. That's the thing I think that the NFL does not want to have happen more than any of that other stuff. Man, we talk about Antonio Brown like that stuff never happened. People can get past that stuff, or at the very least, the media machine around this is willing to ignore all of those things. But what they can't have is players saying, I'm going to tell you where I'm about to go.
Newest Killer Bee, Bomani Jones, joining the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Get away from Texans talk for a moment. 2 weeks into the NFL season, what's your biggest surprise, good or bad?
I mean, I did not expect the Carolina Panthers to be 2-0. Now, granted, I don't feel like they've really played anybody, and I don't think we know exactly what the Saints are or are not going to be. And I mean, they ain't had no coaches for that game. Like, I'm assuming that coaching matters, so at least enough to where you lose them all, that it might affect your performance. But I knew their defense was getting better. I did not think that defense was going to be good as it has looked in the course of the first 2 weeks.
All right, let me switch gears from you. From a Houston perspective, you mentioned the Astros. We keep talking about the fact they're doing what everybody seemingly thought couldn't be done, and most people don't want to be done because it's the Astros. And I said in order to validate everything of the past and put it behind them and really put everything to bed and prove that they're just damn good baseball players, they got to win it all this year. They got a shot. What's your perception of where the Astros sit currently and what they've done this season?
I mean, I think they're the best team in the American League. Like, I'm somebody who leans pretty heavy on run differential. Like, I think it matters a lot. They got the best run differential in the American League. I really, like, I did not grow up as an Astros fan because we moved to Houston when I was 7 and I already had a team when I got there. But I am a giant Dusty Baker fan, and I would love nothing more than to see Dusty Baker come out here and win a championship. Like, look, the Astros got doing what it was that they did. I get to a degree some of the fury that you hear about it from other places, but we're not going to pretend like this has not been a loaded squad for the better part of the last 5-6 years. Like, we just can't do that, right? Even with whatever you can say about that other stuff, you can question that championship, but you cannot question how good they've been in baseball in the course of this time. And it will be interesting if they do come out here and win it, because I don't think that people were nearly as offended by what the Astros did as they made out to be. But they became the thing that people get mad at, right? We rotate between our things that people get mad at. That was the thing that people decided to get mad at. It was a very easy target, and they went and jumped on it. They leaned in, and people liked to go to games and boo, and they became it. All of a sudden, Astros games became a whole lot more interesting for people because they got to go there and be mad at something. You know, at some point, that'll pass, and maybe it doesn't. I enjoy watching people be mad just because somebody else is successful. That makes my day, haters.
I think it mattered, too, that they won the World Series. Like, if they win 70 games and they find out that they were stealing signs electronically in 2017, no one would say a thing.
Yeah, I'd agree.
All right, I got to ask you, because you're not in town anymore, but you spent a long time in town. What do you miss most when you're not in Houston anymore?
Man, this is wild, because I've been gone now for like 25 years. And every time I come back, I'm like, whoa, this is an entirely different place. The one thing, though, and I don't know why this is the one that is persistent above all else, is Taco Cabana. Like, that's the one where I have not gone to all the different cities that I've lived in. There's no Taco Cabana substitute. I thought you were
going to go Papacito's, and you went more fast food on me.
Well, but see, the thing is, I went to college in Atlanta, and my parents live there now, and Papa Do's and Papacito's there. It's not the same, but it is there.
That yes, it's sense. The chain version.
It's a different experience. I can definitely say that.
Well, Bomani, thanks for hopping
on.
Great
it.
Stuff as always. You do great work. We're big fans and hope to chat again soon.
I appreciate it, man. You guys be good.
That's Bomani Jones, ESPN and HBO, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Come